And it's one of the Chatur Shloki verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yata Mahanti Bhutani Bhutestu Chavasechi Anu Pravishtani Apravishtani Tata Teshu Na Teshvaham Yata Mahanti Bhutani Bhute Suchava Chesvanu Pravishtanya Pravishtani Tata Teshu Na Teshvaham Yata Mahanti Bhutani Bhute Sucha Vacheshvanu Pravishtanya Pavrishtani Tata Teshu Na Teshvaham. Okay. Ladies, yata. Mahanti, the universal, Bhutani, elements, Bhuteshu, in the living entities, Ucha Avacheshu, both gigantic and minute, Anu, after, Pravishtani, situated internally, Apravishtani, situated externally. Tata, so, Teshu, in them, na, not. Teshu, in them, aham, I. This is something the material scientists would definitely not like, this one. This is the Krishna's inconceivable potency. Inside and outside, biggest and smallest, all these things that they can't cope with. So they just leave it. And put it, whatever they can't label and weigh and measure, they say it doesn't exist. It's just somebody's imagination. As the material elements enter the bodies of all living beings, and yet remain outside. I exist within all material creations, yet I am not within them. I'm going to repeat that. As the material elements enter the bodies of all living entities, and yet remain outside them all, I exist within all material creations, and yet I am not within them. That's in Bhagavad Gita also, right? Chapter 9. Who knows? I always forget. How does that one go? 9.4. Mayeta tamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani achaham teshva vastata. And then there's a whole series of verses giving examples of how this works. Those are the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva slokas. So this is the third of the four Chatra slokas, which is the seed slokas of the whole Bhagavatam. Of course, the first sloka is the whole Bhagavatam also. And the rest of the Bhagavatam is to explain the first sloka. So that's, you know, a little bit over our heads. But these four slokas have some of the longest purports in the Bhagavatam, especially the next one. I think it's 13 pages, something like that. As far as I can see, it's the longest purport in the Bhagavatam. Quite important. And Lord Chaitanya is explaining them and using them to help us understand. So we need the whole Bhagavatam, and we need the commentary of the Acharyas given to us by Srila Prabhupada to get some idea. So purport. This is the purport that's here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So just by reading these, you won't have to put up with me saying much, because the purports take up a lot of space. But the purports are that Prabhupada didn't translate a lot of the slokas, and he had different devotees do that. But he said only he could write the purports. He checked what they did, but said anyone can translate. But the purport is his personal ecstasies. And it's our only access to the Bhagavatam and to the Chaitanya, to Krishna, to the Paramparas by Srila Prabhupada's purports. The gross material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, combined with the subtle material elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego, to construct the bodies of this material world. And yet they are beyond these bodies as well. That's a little bit easy to understand, right? Earth, water, fire, and air is all around. Our body is made out of it, but it's also somehow or other, no one can explain, but you know, whatever it is that combines in our mother's womb makes this body. Certain seeds will make a certain tree body, or an egg will make a certain bird, or snake, or lizard. So, but it's all, they're all made out of the same elements, but combined in different ways. Any material construction is nothing but an amalgamation or combination of material elements in varied proportions. These elements exist within and beyond the body. For example, although the sky exists in space, it also enters within the body. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, who is the cause of the material energy, lives within the material world as well as beyond it. Without his presence within the material world, the cosmic body could not develop. Just as without the presence of the spirit, within the physical body, the body could not develop. Some people probably still think, when I was a child, the Christian religions mostly thought that the life didn't enter the body until it came out from the womb, until the baby was born, then there's life. It doesn't really explain how it grew within the womb from a little nothing, tiny microscopic thing, and how, without life, without the soul. The soul has to be there, otherwise the body won't grow, there won't be symptoms of life. The entire cosmic manifestation develops and exists because the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters it as Paramatma, or the Super Soul. The Personality of Godhead, in his all-pervading feature of Paramatma, enters every living entity from the biggest to the most minute. His existence can be realized by one who has a single qualification of submissiveness and who thereby becomes a surrendered soul. The development of submissiveness is the cause of proportionate spiritual realization, by which one can ultimately meet the Supreme Lord in person, as a man meets another man face to face. Prabhupada, someone asked him, how can we meet Krishna? He said, just like I can talk to you, you can talk to Krishna. The submissiveness, yesterday I was reading some slokas and the submissive word came up a lot. So I looked in the dictionary, submissiveness, and the definition was, the first one was like in wrestling, you know, you get a submission hold where the guy says, okay, okay, I give up, you know. That's submissiveness. So, surrender. And then he doesn't win the match, though, he loses. But when you surrender to Krishna, we win. When we finally understand, okay, I can't fight, I can't defeat the material nature. Very good example is Kaliya. Kaliya, his wives were telling him, you should surrender to Krishna. And he was very rich, he was very powerful, he was the king of all the snakes. Why should I surrender to Krishna? I got everything, you know. Got a lot of nice wives, they were serving him. But after, he tried to fight Krishna quite a lot with his 1,000 heads. He had 100 heads that were especially toxic. But he could never bite Krishna, and Krishna kept jumping and smashing his heads. So finally he was almost dead. He's vomiting blood and all the poisons coming out of his body by vomiting. And he realized, they were right, you know, I can't defeat Krishna. He's more powerful. I should surrender. So he did. And he prayed very nicely. He said, the only way anyone can change their nature is by the mercy of the Lord. So when Krishna sees that we become submissive, try to surrender to a spiritual master, we try to inquire submissively or whatever. Inquire submissively means we're not challenging anymore. And let's hear what it has to say. And Krishna gives him mercy. Because of his development of transcendental attachment for the Supreme Lord, a surrendered soul feels the presence of his beloved everywhere, and all his senses are engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Surrendered soul. I was talking to some devotees who have gone to another sampradaya kind of, and they were saying, this word surrender is no good. It's too harsh, too heavy, you know. They don't like that. Prabhupada shouldn't have used that word. Should use a nice word, like, you know, you should just cooperate or something. But surrender means you're not going to fight against Krishna anymore. You're not going to challenge Krishna. You're not going to think I know more than Guru and I know more than Krishna. So it's the perfect word. His eyes are engaged in seeing the beautiful couple, Radha and Krishna, sitting on the decorated throne beneath the desire tree in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, or in the transcendental land of Hare Krishna land, or so many temples. His nose is engaged in smelling the spiritual aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, his ears are engaged in hearing messages from Vaikuntha, and his hands embrace the lotus feet of the Lord and his associates. Thus, the Lord is manifested to a pure devotee from within and without. This is one of the mysteries of the devotional relationship, in which a devotee and the Lord are bound by a tie of spontaneous love. To achieve this love should be the goal of life for every living being. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschachadesa Tarane Vanchakalpa Turvyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaha Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushe Namaha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Tat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Tadane. Spontaneous love. That's what we're after. Not that you have to serve Krishna. Just want to serve. Just want only to please Krishna. Would you like to hear the purport from Srimad Bhagavatam? For the same verse? Huh? Okay. O Brahma, please know that the material elements enter into the cosmos, at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything, and at the same time I am outside of everything. A slightly different wording to say the same thing. Some editing somewhere. Or Prabhupada just translated things differently at different times. Purport. The great elements of material creation, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, all enter into the body of the manifested entity. The seas, mountains, aquatics, plants, reptiles, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods, and everyone materially manifested. And at the same time, such elements are differently situated in the developed stage of consciousness. Period. In the developed stage of consciousness, the human being can study both physiological and physical science. But the basic principles of such sciences are nothing but the material elements and nothing more. The body of the human being and the body of the mountain, and also the bodies of the demigods, including Brahma, are all the same ingredients. Earth, water, fire, etc. And at the same time, the elements are beyond the body. But the bodies are different combinations. Like Brahma's body is almost pure intelligence. Our bodies are what? Who's a scientist here? What are they now? They say 80% water or something? 70 or 80%. It's hard to understand. The bones seem really solid, but it's so much water. So, the trees are, everything's different mixtures, but they're the same elements. Combined by the super soul according to our desire. The elements are created first, and therefore they entered into the bodily construction later. But in both circumstances, they entered the cosmos and also did not enter. Meaning that they still exist outside the cosmos. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, namely the internal and external, is within everything in the manifested universe, cosmos, and at the same time, he is outside of everything, situated in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Loka, as described before. This is very nicely stated in Brahma Samhita 537. Ananda Chinmaya Visapati Bhavitabi Tabirya Avani Jarupa Tayakalabi Goloka Avani Visatyaki Latma Bhutto Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead Govinda, who by expansion of his internal potency of transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss, enjoys his own and expanded forms. Simultaneously, he enters into every atom of the creation. The expansion of his plenary parts is also more definitely explained in the same Brahma Samhita 535. Ekopyasodhataitam jagaranda koti yakchakchur asti jagaranda chayayadanta Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead Govinda, who by one of his plenary portions enters into the existence of every universe and every particle of atoms, and thus unlimitedly manifests his infinite energy all over the material creation. The impersonalist can imagine or even perceive that the Supreme Brahman is thus all-pervading. Therefore, they conclude that there is no possibility of his personal form. Herein lies the mystery of his transcendental knowledge. This mystery of transcendental love for Godhead, and one who is in surcharge with such transcendental love of Godhead, can without difficulty see the personality of God in every atom, in every movable or immovable object. And at the same time, he can see the personality of Godhead in his own abode, Goloka, enjoying eternal pastimes with his eternal associate, who are also expansions of his transcendental existence. This vision is the real mystery of spiritual knowledge, as stated by the Lord in the beginning. Saravasyam adi angam cha. This mystery is the most confidential part of the knowledge of the Supreme, and it is impossible for the mental speculation to discover by dint of intellectual gymnastics. Prabhupada's very poetic with his intellectual gymnastics. This what the mental speculators, the academic people do. They just juggle words, like you've seen jugglers, right? And the words are just flying around, and it's very fascinating. And they put them together in different ways. But basically, they're just saying could be, might be, could have been, might have been, maybe, baby, you know, all those things. They're never saying anything, really. And they take that I saw one, it was quite some time ago, in Discover magazine, in one of these, I saw the cover on the shelf, and it said, 90% of the universe we know nothing about it. But because we know for sure that we know nothing about it, we are the, you know, real authorities. And you have to accept our whatever we tell you, although we admit we don't know anything. But they go on saying that they know something. And if you present the Bhagavatam, they don't like it. God, soul, even mind. The scientists don't, because they can't bottle up the mind. You can't find it, can't put it in a box. You know, they know it's not the brain, it's something else, and so they don't want to talk about it. Only hard science. So they're very limited. So the mystery can be revealed through the process recommended by Brahmaji in the Brahma Samhita as follows. Everybody knows, right? Premanjana chukita bhakti vilochanena sam vishu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achincha guna sarupam govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the original personality of Godhead, whom the pure devotees, their eyes smeared with the ointment of love of Godhead, always observe within their hearts the Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, the Shamsundar with all transcendental qualities. Santak Sadaiva Santak. In the years ago in America, at a Christmas time, you know, everybody has a Santa Claus. And so devotees dressed up as Santa Claus and they collect donations, and people like to give to Santa. And this is the verse they use to justify it. Devotees are Santas. And peaceful. Therefore, although he is present in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead may not be visible to the dry speculators. Still, the mystery is unfolded before the eyes of the pure devotees because their eyes are anointed with love of Godhead. And the love of Godhead can be attained only by the practice of transcendental loving service to the Lord and nothing else. That's what Prabhupada's given us. Practice. We're dressing deities, we're doing artik, we're cooking for the deity, we're singing, dancing for the deity, we're going out and dancing for the souls who are not fortunate to come to the temple because Krishna's in their heart. Devotees can see that. The vision of the devotees is not ordinary. It is purified by the process of devotional service. In other words, as the universal elements are both within and without, similarly the Lord's name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, etc., as they are described in the revealed scriptures, or as performed in the Vaikuntha lokas, far, far beyond the material cosmic manifestation, are factually being televised in the heart of the devotee. There's another place where Prabhupada mentions this spiritual television. Like, what's the example we have of someone having that? In the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya, Prabhupada mentioned, he had spiritual television. He could see the whole battle of Kurukshetra and hear everything everybody was saying. Quite amazing. It was in, because he, I think we know enough about Indian geography that Delhi's not very close to Kurukshetra. You know? It's what, 5-hour drive now? Something like that. But he could see and hear everything. And it must have been a very noisy place, but he could tune in. So he heard all the conversations and he saw all the different weapons. And so he was able to keep telling Dhritarashtra how his guys were losing. So spiritual television. Now we have the internet. So, you know, we get a little bit of an idea. But we can only see what somebody broadcasts and only get their version. You know, we can't really know what's going on. Can't, although they say people have this, something called God's eye or something, some kind of a spy satellite, and you can just tune in on anybody and read their mind and know where they are and, you know, what they're having for breakfast. And I don't know if there really is such a thing, but they can do quite a bit. But Krishna knows everything. Brahmanas are more worried about the super soul witnessing everything, because he really can witness it. So we can see, we're getting a, like a, I don't know if it's still there, when I was, there was a magazine called TV Guide, and it would tell you about all the programs and, you know, give you some idea so you can decide which one you want to watch. So now they have the movie, you know, thing, and it's all on the internet now, and all the restaurants, right? I think they have that here, that, what do they call it? Tomato or Zomato. Or when I was in Dubai, they were advertising one noon food or something. They have the menus of 10,000 restaurants, and then you can choose and tell them, and they'll bring it to you right away. So we can tune in on so many things. You don't have to come to class here. You, if you want to hear the class from somewhere else, you can just get on the internet, right? So it's some idea. But to see the spiritual world, actually, but Prabhupada is giving us the preview, you know, that, okay, this is what's there. And gradually he will reveal it to us. We're actually seeing it, but we don't know. The Harinam party, the kirtan parties, the deities, and that's what's there. Factually, the spiritually developed person is able to have the television of the kingdom of God always reflected within his heart. That is the mystery of knowledge of the personality of Godhead. The Lord can award anyone and everyone liberation, mukti, from the bondage of material existence. Yet, he rarely awards the privilege of love of Godhead, as confirmed by Narada. Muktim didati karichit smana bhakti yogam. This transcendental devotional service of the Lord is so wonderful that the occupation keeps a deserving devotee always wrapped, R-A-P-T, in psychological activities without deviation from the absolute true touch. Krishna doesn't give bhakti so easily because he's controlled by that. He's intimate. He has to associate with the people he gives bhakti to. So he's very careful. That's why Maya tests us so much. Liberation, okay, mystic power is no big deal. That's just something that you can play with. But bhakti means intimate association, so Krishna's testing. This love, thus love of Godhead developed in the heart of the devotee is a great mystery. Brahmaji previously told Narada that the desire of Brahmaji are never unfulfilled, because he's always absorbed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. nor has he any desire in his heart save and accept the transcendental service of the Lord. Ekaha Kurunandana, only one desire. This is the beauty and mystery of the process of bhakti yoga. As the Lord's desire is infallible because he is achyuta, similarly, the desires of the devotees in the transcendental service of the Lord are achyuta, infallible. This is very difficult, however, for the layman to understand without knowledge of the mystery of devotional service. It is very difficult to know the potency of touchstone. It has to be given, you know. Krishna says, Tesham Satyata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Tadadi Bhumi Yomantam Yenamam Upayantite. For one who is constantly engaged in service, I give knowledge. He reveals himself. Otherwise, it won't happen. One cannot get it by any amount of bribery or beauty or opulence of any kind. But if we offer whatever we have to Krishna, big or small, then he can give himself. A touchstone is rarely found. The pure devotee of the Lord is also rarely to be seen, even amongst millions of liberated souls. Kotishvap Mahatmane. Out of all kinds of perfection attained by the process of knowledge, yoga perfection is the devotional service of the highest of all and the most mysterious also, even more mysterious than the eight kinds of mystic perfections attained by the process of yoga performance. Most people, they're very fascinated by mystic powers now. A devotee I just heard last week, he was giving a class of scientifically how mystic powers work, you know, how you get them. But mostly people don't know about these eight main mystic powers. They know about the subordinate next step, becoming able to see anything in the universe, to be like Superman, invulnerable to all weapons, to be able to go anywhere, hear anything, and control the minds of people by talking to them. And so they have all these superheroes with all kinds of mystic powers, and people love that. And they think, I'd love to have this power or that power. But Prabhupada said, we have many mystic powers built into our body. And when he was speaking, that was in the 70s, when the men were first growing long hair and thinking this is very important. Said, growing hair is a mystic power. No one can explain it. But he said, you have to give it up. To give up the long hair. I met one Indian guy once, and he said, how can you worship Krishna? What kind of God is that? He's got really long, beautiful hair, and he makes you shave your head. He's a terrible guy, you know, And he's got so many girlfriends, and he tells you, you got to be celibate. You know, this is really bad. I would never think of worshiping him. It can't be God. God is nice. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord therefore advises Arjuna, Sarva guyatamam bhuya, shanume paramam vacha. Just hear from me again about the most confidential part of the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. The same was confirmed by Brahmaji to Narada in the following words, Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yanme Bhagavatoditam Sangraho Yam Vibhutanam Twam Etad Vipulikara. Brahmaji said to Narada, whatever I have spoken to you about the Bhagavatam was explained to me by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am advising you to expand these topics nicely so that people can understand the mysterious bhakti yoga by transcendental loving service of the Lord. So Narada took, Brahma got these four slokas, right? And then he preached to Narada, one or two chapters? Quite a bit. And then he told Narada, you expand it and make it easy for people. So Narada did that also, and there's so many disciples of Narada Muni. I was listening to Prabhupada yesterday, listing off, you know, so many. Vyasadeva, and Dhruva, Prahlad, you know, on and on and on. So, and then the acharyas who heard from Narada, like Vyasa, and he wrote much more. Took what he heard from Narada. Narada said, you have to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he wrote the Bhagavatam, you know. Narada didn't speak the whole Bhagavatam. And he probably wrote much more, so many things, but... And then Prabhupada especially did that. It would have been very easy for him to just translate the slokas of the Bhagavatam, give us a little book I've seen is about this big, the whole Bhagavatam, you know. But what would we, there would be no ISKCON movement, there'd be no Sankirtan, there'd be no Lord Chaitanya, there'd be nothing. He made this incredible endeavor to make the purports. So therefore we have, what is it now, 44 volumes? It's very nice, you know. And we have to thank all the engineers that created all this technology. Krishna empowered them, and the devotees who made it into digital, you know, so we can have it like this. Because I'd have to bring a big spotlight and glasses to read this book in this room. This room is like really not suitable for my eyes. But then we have it all in our pocket. And it's very convenient. And we can tune in to classes, like I said, from all over the world. You can spend all day just traveling through different time zones and going to Mangalartik, whatever you want, you know. Proper use of these things. So Prabhupada really did. And we're supposed to take it and present it in our own words also. And many, many devotees are doing that. Sometimes other devotees can't understand that they're presenting the Bhagavatam because they're not quoting the Sanskrit. But they're presenting the principles of Bhagavatam, you know. The Bhagavatam is covering everything, but it has, whatever we do has to be aimed towards this love of Godhead. That's what real religion is. It is noted here that the mystery of Bhakti Yoga was disclosed to Brahmaji by the Lord himself. He explained it to Narada. Narada explained it to Vyas. Vyas explained it to Shukadeva Goswami. And that same knowledge is coming down in the unalloyed chain of disciplic succession. If one is fortunate enough to have received the knowledge of the transcendental disciplic succession, surely he will have the chance to understand the mystery of the Lord and that of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sound incarnation of the Lord. The Bhagavatam is an incarnation. We can offer artik to the Bhagavatam, can offer our bhoga, you know, it's Krishna. It's a literary incarnation. So I was quite heard all these figures of how many Bhagavatam sets are being distributed. Now we have to pray and that we can, you know, not only distribute, we have to read it and practice it and help these people to realize, help them to join the Sankirtan movement. That's not very hard to do. If, like last night we went out here and we're chanting and so many people joined. We got squashed by a big crowd of people coming, right? And dancing got more and more wild. Devotee said, well, it's 8 o'clock, we should stop in 5 minutes. And they went till 8:30 because they just couldn't stop. The people were so that they don't want it to stop. They want that. Otherwise, they're going to go dance in some other crazy club, you know, Bollywood dancing. So let them dance for Krishna. That's why we always have kirtan in the temple. That's why we have book tables everywhere. This is a real, you know, personification here, everything of what Prabhupada wanted, what Prabhupada gave us. It's what temples are for. With all these dioramas and lila pictures and, you know, devotees everywhere and prasadam everywhere. You know, people come, some people come just for prasadam. Okay, great, because they're going to hear kirtan. They're going to see the books. They're going to see devotees. Most people, when they see a devotee, they're respectful. So they make so much advancement. And Prabhupada, we've heard so many times that nobody believed that anybody would come so far to a temple. But now this is not so far, but now there's so much beyond this area, but there wasn't then. And same thing in Vrindavan. That temple was really far away from everything. It was all forest. Beyond the, towards the highway, it was all this forest. There were wild, you know, I used to go there to see the blue cows, you know, Nilagai. So, Prabhupada, you know, Krishna was telling him what to do. Unfortunately, the devotees were enough attached to Prabhupada that they did it. You know, even though they didn't believe it, well, they couldn't understand why. But that's our, there's a poem we had to learn in junior high school, I think, about some army. Into the valley of death, march the 600. Nobody knows why, but ours is but to do or die, something like that. You know, we don't have to die. If you want to go to Krishna, you have to live. Dying might not necessarily get you to Krishna, but living in Krishna consciousness will. And but to do whatever we're asked, whatever Prabhupada gave us, this incredible mission. He wants a Bhagavatam in every home. He wants temples in every home. You know, we want prasadam everywhere so that people can get purified and give up their sinful life. Of course, here in Bombay, I'm quite surprised even we're driving out to the Eco Village or the Telasari. So many of these dabbas or whatever they're called, pure vegetarians, there's pure veg, you know. So obviously there's a demand for it. You don't find that in most countries. Pure beef, pure this, pure, you know, 100% something unmentionable. But we're spreading it all over the world. We have to go. We have to think of our ways and means to give this Bhagavatam to everyone. And devotees are doing, so many devotees are online doing their thing, all different levels of attracting people so that you can bring him in, you know, just like a fighter. Sometimes they act like, so the person will come close, and then they act like they're really tired or something. Then the other guy comes close, and bam, because he's off guard. So that devotees do that. We pull people in. We have nice food. We have nice this, that, some entertainment. But they're really giving him Krishna. So I'll leave it at that. It's a big dose of Prabhupada. The next verse is, the, well, I said the longest, as far as I can, my research is the longest purport in Prabhupada's books. I counted the pages, 13 pages. So it's very important, these four verses, because it's seed of everything. Seeds, if they're taken care of, they sprout. So if you study these, it will sprout into this creeper that will go to the lotus feet of Krishna. So any, what are your comments or comments would be best, and questions. Mr. Question Man? Yes, sir. Speak really clearly, because a lot of white noise.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful lecture, Maharaj. Maharaj, we read in this purport that Krishna is present everywhere, within the atom also, between the atom also. So I have a faith on these words of the Prabhupada. But my question is that, like, when I am moving my hand, so is it like I am hitting Shurudakshai Vishnu, the personal form of Lord Vishnu, the forehand form of Vishnu, or is it like some impersonal energy that when I am interacting?
Well, that depends on your consciousness. basically not. That's Krishna's, you know, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. When the deity is the personal form of the Lord. The Paramatma is kind of, but different. But the Brahman, you know, the all-pervasive, it's not different than Krishna, but it's different. That's why we have this Achintya Beda Beda Tattva is the most important thing. Lord Chaitanya amalgamated all the teachings of the four sampradayas with this Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, which this verse is about, and Maya Tatamidam Sarvam is about. And then just like, and then after that in chapter 9, Krishna's saying like the wind and the sky, and this is this way and that way, and although I'm everywhere, it's not, although I am maintaining everything, I'm still outside, and it's not a burden, right? Like you've seen that picture of Atlas, they had some idea of this guy that's holding him, which is true. There's things holding up the planet Seshanag, but he's all, like it's really heavy. But for Seshanag is holding up millions of universes, but he doesn't feel it. It's like if someone put a mustard seed on your head, you know, it's not gonna weigh you down, you wouldn't know it's there. So, yeah. But if somebody is really totally self-realized, they might. I just read the pastime yesterday. It was in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. About the Brahmin that was doing the Manasa Puja. He burnt his finger, you know. So that's possible. But you have to be on a very high level. Once Raghunath Das Goswami had indigestion, and the doctor said he was eating too much sweet rice, or was Rupa Goswami with it, and nobody could understand what, you know, he doesn't eat, he's only eating this one leaf cup of buttermilk every second day or something, but he'd had in a trance, he was attending some festival, you know, with in the spiritual world, and he was eating a lot of sweet rice, but he got indigestion in his body. So, you know, I don't know. We can't. Maybe. I'm not certainly on the point. All right? Interesting question. So, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. Three different stages of realization. So, we're more at a distance than Brahman, maybe. But we have Bhagavan also because we have the deity. So this is Krishna's special mercy. We have the deity, we have the Bhagavatam. This is Bhagavan. And we have special mercy. The Mayavadis say no need to go to the temple because God is everywhere. Prabhupada said, then why is he not in the temple? Or he's not. No need to chant Krishna's name because he's everywhere. All names are God. And why isn't Krishna also a name of God? And we can give examples, you know. We can go on the internet and we can see whatever band you like and whatever movie star you like to see, right? But if there's a live concert, the same thing, people will pay thousands of dollars sometimes to get a front row seat to see it in person. It's different. So we get for free. We get Bhagavan, we get Krishna. So try to realize. One time, I was flying out of Delhi, I think, and after the festival, I had a whole group of Japanese, and we waited in line so long while these guys just fumbled around, and then all of a sudden they said, "You're too late. You can't check in." And I said, "Wait a minute." And we've been standing here for an hour, you know, and you guys are, and he said, "We believe, we don't go to the temple. We're not like you're stupid, you know. We believe work is worship. Duty is God, you know." I said, "Well, then you should do your work properly, you know, and check us in." And then they, "Oh, okay, you can go over here. You can put us through so much headache, you know." But, because they just thought they want to harass devotees. That was the only reason. But we don't need to go to the temple. And this is how the government was promoting. Work is worship, duty is God, factory is a temple. Just go to the factory and work hard every day, and you don't have to go to the temple. We'll pay you to go to the factory. You go to the temple, you have to give a donation, right? It's much better. Just go to the factory and work, and we'll give you some money. So this is the world, you know. So Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. I was recommending last time I was here, every Saturday and Sunday there should be this out, right out there. People, there's so many devotees out there, and they really like them. All right, any more comments? We got Mr. Commenter. He's always got something to say.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. If I understood the purport correctly, it was saying the impersonalists can perceive or imagine the all-pervading form, universal form of the Lord.
Yeah.
What does Prabhupada mean by that, perceive or imagine? How can they perceive?
Maybe he's saying they're really imagining. Because the universal form that's described, it's imaginary. They think they're seeing something, but they're really imagining. That's what I would say. He's saying seeing or imagine. Not that it's one or the other, but it means actually they're imaginary. According to my understanding of the English language, which is very limited because I hated grammar studies and I never studied. But I knew a lot of words and I could read. But, like, when try to learn a foreign language, they start out with all this conjunctions and past perfect and all these different tenses. I never heard of any of these things in English. And I'm supposed to learn them in Japanese or Chinese or something just ridiculous, you know. Why don't they just teach us how to talk, you know, like babies, just learn how to talk. You don't teach a baby grammar, you know, it just imitates what it hears. So that we just hear about Krishna and repeat it as much as we can. Read the Bhagavatam, repeat it as best we can, and gradually it manifests. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Radha Rasa Bihari Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hari Hari Bhava.